Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Here's Fields. Bodies around him. And again, the ball comes out. Jack Barrett picks it up. Loses it himself. White has it. And he's tackled down by Daniels at the 25-yard line. JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, was the one this time who knocked it out of Fields' hands. Third and goal. Step up and now throw it. And it's caught for the touchdown. Evans with his third of the game. Brady with his fourth.
This is not going well for the Bears right
you
now.
You know, it could be a mercy benching time for the Justin Fields.
I agree with you, Boom. I think right now Justin Fields should take a step back. You know, put Andy Dalton in there at some point because, you know, you don't want the confidence to get destroyed.
That's well, it's not just that. It's not just that. We saw it earlier with Zach Wilson against the Patriots. He got hurt today for the Jets. He may be out for the next couple of weeks, maybe a PCL injury or something like that. The thing that I see here with Justin Fields is a kid that can't read a defense right now. And you know, they're not taking the pedal off the metal, if you will. Todd Bowles is keeping up with the heat.
Oh, goodness gracious. That the CBS group, I guess we give them acknowledgement for the fact that they gave us all that. But is that really something we thank you for? Do we want to hear more of that horror?
No.
And, hey, look, I mean, Boomer has been on this pretty steadily, understanding what's going on. And obviously Bill Cowher, he took pity on Justin Fields as well.
But what did you hear most loudly there, Mully? What will you remember about that snippet, about that halftime cutaway?
Can't figure out what's coming at him, can't read a defense, and they're going to keep coming. And guess what? That they're going to keep coming. That's not just about Tampa. That's what you can expect now, period, end of story, moving forward.
Every opponent, every defensive coordinator, they're going to sit down, watch tape of the Bears and say, we can rattle him. He's a rookie. Let's do what we do to rookies. And Boomer Esiason, as respected as they come in our industry, former NFL quarterback, look, can't read a defense. That's going to linger for a while. That's going to be something that Justin Fields is going to have to prove otherwise that that's not the case, because when you have somebody of that ilk saying it and it gets repeated and repeated again, it sticks a little bit, and that's something you don't want to stick.
Okay, I there was something Dustin said that I can't get past. Bilal Nichols is not going to be suspended, but, you know, a fine's coming. Let me ask David, you're a connoisseur of football. You've covered hundreds of games, as I have, and you've watched thousands of games. I'm just wondering how often you've seen a guy throw a punch and get to stay in a game. Like, I've never seen it pulled off where you actually make a fist and hit a guy in the helmet and they say, ah, you know, that guy was a jerk. Go ahead. You can, hey, he's prodded you into that. Just go ahead.
You're leaving. You're leaving. You're either being escorted off the field or leaving under your own power as Bilal Nichols did. It's the second guy. You can make this case. It was retaliation. Doesn't matter. You've got to maintain your composure better than that, because as you point out, you're never going to win that argument, and there's nothing good that can come from that. So, you know, settle it in a different way, but you're not going to win that one.
That's three players in 2 years that have been ejected for throwing a punch. I mean, look, Do you not understand what it is to be a teammate? Do you not understand what violation will get you thrown out of a game? Are they not expressing that to these guys? That is shocking to me.
If you want to put it under the one umbrella, and of course we're doing this morning because we're being critical of the Matt Nagy regime, there seems to be little fear of deterrent or retribution for Bears players with this coaching staff, with this head coach, whether it's a silly Twitter or Instagram spat or whatever it may be on the field with throwing a punch or committing a penalty, there doesn't seem to be any sort of intimidation factor, any sort of fear, because everybody's so happy with everybody else and how close they have become. You know what? I mean, we know the Bears can handle failure. I'd like to see how they handle success.
I'm curious, had they thrown Javon Wims off the team the minute that happened the first time last year, would these other two incidents have occurred, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I mean, it's easy to say that, but I do think that you failed to send a strong message, and so you shouldn't be surprised when things like yesterday happen, because he's apparently not going to be subjected to a suspension. He will be subjected to a fine. Big deal. These guys, you know, they'll chalk it up to, you know, hey, at least it was an aggressive mistake. No, it was dumb. It was dumb.
Really dumb. All right, and I like him. I do, and I don't want him thrown off the team, but I just think that you're right. There was no deterrent. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Bob. Bob's on the road. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I want to start real quick by saying the Bulls look great. DeMar DeRozan reminds me a little bit of Kawhi Leonard, so we're going to start right there. Anyway, why I called is the Bears have a bigger problem than it even appears, right? I watch a lot of football over the weekends, right? You know, 40 games or so. And college football and NFL football are distinctly different in one specific way. In college, you line up your best players at the beginning of the game, and you have them do whatever they can do. And as soon as you find out that they're not as good as the players on the other team, you get blown out. Because there are no adjustments to make. There's no players you can bring in. There's no new defense you can run. In the NFL, it's supposed to be different. You're supposed to have players on the field that can do different things. You're supposed to be able to bring other players in and make adjustments. And therefore, you don't get blown out 38-3. The Bears have nowhere to go. It's not even injuries. It's just the fact that I want to play man coverage, or I want to have my safeties come up and play the run. This is what NFL defenses do. And the offenses, I want to have my back chip the end. I want to be able to bring in a new tight end. I want to bring in seven offensive linemen. I want to run the ball. I want to scrap half my playbook. These are what NFL teams do. These are what the Bears are completely incapable of doing, because they have a roster that's totally developed like a college football team. It's absolutely unbelievable. So that's all I got to say, and the problems are even bigger than they appear. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Interesting point, because I think that we want to place so much responsibility this morning at the feet of the head coach, and I think it's deserved. But the big picture point is a pretty strong one too, Mully. I think we both agree. You know, the roster, the way it's constructed, is incompatible. You have a win-now defense with a developing offense, and you have a disparity in talent. And yesterday underscored just how wide that gap has become between the Bears and the best in the NFL.
It's interesting, because I think the difficulty of playing a team like Tampa is they can beat you in so many different ways. They are capable of beating you in a lot of different styles and a lot of different ways, and they've got such a talent a gap against the Bears. I mean, they can lose. They can rest players. You know, we were told that both the receiver and the tight end could have played if it was an important game, but, you know, they didn't really think they needed them. Why not save them for a division game against New Orleans next week, even though they had, you know, whatever, 10 days between games? So they didn't need Gronk. They didn't need
Brown.
Thank you. You caught me before I could butcher it. and that's extraordinary to me, because if you think about the Bears, well, they had no Robert Quinn, and they had no Akeem Hicks. Of course they couldn't win. How could they possibly win? But you could argue the other guys are just as valuable. The problem is they've got depth all over the place, and they got, because of Tom, they've brought in a whole team. Everybody wants to play with them. They've reclamated careers, and they are capable of playing in different fashion.
That's a great point. You know, they win by 35, Molly. Here's another one I have to make. They win by 35. Bruce Arians talking after the game about being disappointed in his offense, about how they got stopped and fourth down late in the game and how they need to function better. You know what, though? That's not just coach speak. That's a guy who has won a Super Bowl. That's a franchise that understands where you have to place the standard. And the standard in Tampa is so much higher than it is at Hallis Hall. And it shouldn't be. And it doesn't have to be. But I think that we have become so used to, you know, this relaxed of where the standard is, and it's not high enough with the Bears, and we accept things because this is who they've become and what we've become used to, but we've become too used to accepting a lower standard, and it's got to change. And that, to me, is the overriding factor, whether we're talking about the coach or the general manager or the team president or everyone along the way. The standard needs to be higher at 1920 Football Drive.
I totally agree, and as we talk of Bruce Arians, that's a guy who was the reigning coach of the year after he took over from Chuck Pagano and finished second to Mark Trestman when the Bears' brain trust made a hire. I get it. Phil Emery was the guy making the call, but I believe George and Ted were in the room, and guess what? They hired the wrong guy. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. So I don't know. I just wonder if there is the capability of hiring the right general manager who then hires the right coach to coach Justin Fields, if indeed you're making that move. I think that we talked about Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski and that marriage, right, and how smart it was to hire that guy. Do we trust the Bears to come up with the right guy to coach the quarterback?
I don't know, because there's a common thread that connects all of these bad decisions and all of these lean years and all of this futility. And you said it, it's George and Ted. And they need to understand that this method of decision-making, this process, or the processes, if you will, to borrow a Cubs term, not working. Not working.
Don't use that word too much, my wife told me. Paul is in Valpo. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. You just talked about the common thread there, and I get a lot of heat on Pace and obviously Nagy as well. But I guess just when do we start to look at Justin Fields, though, as maybe part of the problem? They did draft him. He did drop to the fourth quarterback, chosen. I think you guys have made pretty honest evaluations of him, maybe not like everybody else on the score. I think we got to stop being a cheerleader for him. A lot of the reasons he dropped in the draft, you're seeing right up in front. He doesn't read defense as well. He does get scared when the rush is in his face. Are those things that he can correct? You guys are the experts. Are those things he can correct and all of a sudden are going to be so much better? I think so. Everyone in this town just wants to have a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Is he really a franchise quarterback, or are we just making excuses for him because maybe everything around him is not perfect? Yes, I know he's 5 or 6 games in, but I haven't heard anyone really take an honest evaluation of Justin Fields. It's just, hey, it's everybody else's fault.
Paul, it's a really good phone call. Molly, I'll take a quick shot at it. Justin Fields is a 22-year-old in a 7th NFL game. He has tremendous potential, and that hasn't been ruined yet. I think he could develop some bad habits. I think he could be exposing himself to injury by playing behind an offensive line that's not NFL ready. And that's not very good. But I do think this. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker. He's got to have better sense of the pocket. He's got to maybe read defenses better, as Boomer Esiason elaborated or exposed. But I do think that Justin Fields, based on what we have seen in a small sample size, can be a franchise quarterback. I still believe that. I don't think he's getting a lot of help. I don't think he needs to be playing as early as he was thrust into the lineup. And I don't think he needs to play the rest of the way because they did that. But I do think he has learned from, you know, his experiences so far, and he'll continue to get better. The arrow's still pointing up to me for Justin Fields.
I think we all want to hit the fast forward button and see how this turns out. And I think the hardest thing to do is to be patient. That's the hardest thing to do. But that is the requirement of developing a so-called franchise quarterback. And I think that that it's been amazing to me to watch how people have been so out over their skis with this. And this is kind of what I expected, to be honest with you. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be this bad, but I didn't really believe that he was going to be just the immediate success that I think we all hoped that he would be. But I think that I got a lot of faith in the kid. I think he's got the great kind of demeanor, the way of going about it. But listen, he's not there, not by a mile. And to pretend like he is a disservice to everybody involved. So I'm with you. I agree with your assessment of it. And I think that the problem that we all are having is trying to figure out we haven't seen it in Chicago, right? We haven't been able to watch a quarterback develop and have success. Right. And I think that we're trying to find everyone to blame other than just understanding the process itself.
I think that's well put. I think the part of that understanding too, before we break here, is not allowing yourself to take all of that frustration that you feel toward the coaching staff and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and whoever. And that don't lump Justin Fields necessarily in the same category, in the same pile. It's not the same argument. You can be fed up with Pace and Nagy and not trust their ability to develop the quarterback and still believe that Justin Fields is a quarterback worth salvaging and developing, and he can still make something out of his Bears career. That's kind of where I am. I don't want to – I'm not giving up on the player as much as I may have already given up on any idea that this regime can win here in Chicago.
25-13. That's the Bears' record. That's Matt Nagy's record with Mitchell Trubisky as the quarterback. And 6-11 is the record without him. Is there anybody regretting that Mitch isn't here? I just think that we don't even know how to look at it, David.
Right.
We haven't seen it. We don't understand what development is. And so we kind of get ahead of ourselves and try to fast forward. And you can't do that. You just have to go through the pain, unfortunately. We've got to get to a break. It pains me to do so, but we will be back with your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The last couple of days with our team, we've become really close. And, for us to become as close as we have the last 24, 48 hours, I just trust and believe in them. And they've done it before. We're 3-4 right now. Again, we can't have this affect us and make it be a 2 or 3 or 4 feel like that much of a loss. This is we lost, and we got to learn from it. Our guys have rebounded before in the past, and I just know from our discussion in there after the game and where we're at right now as fighters and people and teammates, it's not fun. This is not fun. But at the same point in time, we all go through some adversity to be able to get us, you know, where we want to go in the end. And so that's why I feel that way.
What?
Wow.
That is a very good use of the what. That, I don't know, David. That's quite a mouthful from the head coach who saw Tom Brady throw 4 touchdown passes against him in a half. And his team has 3 this season. So I don't know how you say that, but they're close. They've went through hell, including that game.
Mully, let me say this, and you know, I think you know by now, and what know me well enough. I'm not a big like ranter or raver, and I'm not a big like throw the table guy. And you try to maintain your composure, professionalism, whatever. And I get that. And I applaud that in people. I think I value that in professionals. But I think football sometimes brings me to a different point when you're watching or observing, especially when you talk about coaches. It struck me again yesterday that Matt Nagy didn't rant and rave after something that bad. He didn't sound like a guy who was going to go in and throw something against the locker room wall and break something in his path. He didn't use much He didn't show much language that makes you think he was overreacting to a loss. But you know what? He's a football coach. It's okay to overreact every now and then. Sometimes you lose your composure, you gain some respect. I think now, if ever, there's time for Matt Nagy to kind of lose it a little bit, right? I mean, his whole career is slipping away from him based on what's going on this season. You've got to respond more than just, you know what, we're getting closer. These last 24 to 40 hours were really great bonding moments for us. Come on.
I'm sorry. That's kind of nonsense. David, you know well the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
We've got to let people have an outlet. We really do. And I think we all need one, and Nagy needs one. Yeah. Dave's in Plainfield. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, Nagy has to go. If you have a young quarterback that you're trying to coach up and develop, you cannot have him sitting on the sidelines stewing when he makes a mistake. You have to have somebody over coaching him up. They go to Aaron Rodgers and during the game when he makes a mistake. Where's he at? He's on the sideline looking at the iPod, figuring out what they did wrong. They let him sit on the sideline and didn't coach him up. That's why he's got to go. His only reason for being there is to coach him, and he's not letting him do it.
You know, it's interesting. In the post game yesterday, someone called up and didn't like the fact that Justin Fields was just standing on the sidelines kind of stewing. He wasn't studying Tom Brady during the game. He could have learned so much. You know, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to take the iPad. You're supposed to figure out what went wrong. You're really supposed to be catered to a little bit, coached while the game goes on. I was surprised he wasn't sitting there and talking it through and trying to come up with a solution. Some of those sideline shots were pretty bad of him just kind of standing there dejected after a bad play. And I mean, good God, 5 turnovers in a game, David, 5. We knew there was a possibility that could happen. One of them, again, the interceptions I'm talking about. Listen, he got hit too much in the backfield, sacked too much, strip sacked too much. But you saw, you saw him throw a pick because apparently he thought that he was going to get another penalty. I cannot believe that happened. Another one bounced off Mooney's hands. You got to catch those balls, man. It was far from a good game from Justin Fields, but that did stand out to me that he was standing there looking like, his dog had died.
Well, he wasn't engaged. That was the biggest thing. You noticed that he didn't seem to be as engaged as you typically see a quarterback in the midst of what he was going through. And I think sometimes sideline cutaway shots can be a little bit misleading and often unfair. Going way back to, remember, the Rex Grossman days when he wasn't showing enough interest in what was going on the field. Look, Justin Fields was having a tough day, but I was a little surprised. It did strike me the same way that where there wasn't like more conversation with either Dalton or Foles or one of the 17 quarterback coaches they have on the payroll, because you don't want to have him really go one series or even a couple snaps in a row without talking through what's next, contingency planning. Okay, you're looking ahead. This is what you're going to do. This is what happened there. So it did strike me as a little bit he just looked rattled on the field, out of sync in the pocket, and kind of disengaged on the sideline.
Rich is in Old Town. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. First of all, great show. Your comments are right on. You've got me converted. I have a question and a couple of comments. The question for you two guys is a simple one. Which is harder to watch, the Bear game or the Nagy post-game press conference? Because the only thing I see him winning is the Congeniality Award. I mean, this guy is too much for me. I'm more confused after he speaks than before. When you look, the comments are simple. It's really the responsibility of a head coach. If you have to check the box, what I would call the what counts factors, it would be, and earlier callers, and you guys pointed this out as well, in terms of leadership, but he doesn't develop players. And I can give you examples of Mac Jones and Burrows and Trevor Lawrence. They're young guys doing fine, on track, making progress, and playing extremely well. So he doesn't have strategy. He doesn't have development. My biggest quirk with him is, what adjustments did you see when they're down 21-0? His answer was, he's down three scores against Brady, and he kicks a field goal down 21-0. What good would that do to begin with? And then if you want to compare coaches, and you guys pointed this out extremely well, compare Nagy to Donovan in this town. Look at the difference in terms of coaching and acumen, experience, and really development. I just think it's just a disgrace. Fields has to play, and you guys know this, he's got to play with a lead. He can't play from behind as a rookie, 21-0, and expect him to bring them back. So if you're going to get a lead, what are they doing offensively, getting down 21-0 before you can take your jacket off? I'll let you go, but his press conferences, I don't understand what he's saying.
Thanks, Rich. Listen, you know, he's trying to wrap that in a rainbow. That's the reality of it. And there is nothing, there's nothing there to cheerlead about or to be happy about. And, you know, it's got to be difficult not to throw someone under the bus. And, you know, clearly when he was asked about the question about a field saying that he was told in his headset to run a play, there were 12 men on the field, he didn't want any part of that. He didn't want to talk about who told him or, you know, I'm guessing it's Laser. I mean, he's the guy that's in the overhead that's looking down. But I think there are all sorts of issues and problems when you're facing that sort of a defeat. It's really hard to be the kind of genteel Ted Lasso type that he wants to be.
You can't be. What you got to do as a head coach going through something like this is pretty simple when you're taking questions. And again, I said a couple weeks ago, I'm going to pay attention to what the Bears do more than what Matt Nagy says, but the question addresses this. So what you want to do is you want to take responsibility 100% on the head coach if you're Matt Nagy. You want to say less, okay? Then you want to limit how much detail you go into, and you just say less, and you be strong and repeat yourself. Repeat yourself about how it is on you. We will get better. We believe in this team, and we're going to find a way. You may say that 14 times to 17 different questions, but you're not creating this false narrative or this false sense of, well, everything's going to be okay, when you have no idea how to get it out of the hole you've dug for yourself. So that's what it bothered me. It was like, this seems to be kind of, you know, phony after the game when he's trying to put a happy face on what we all just watched as a total football disaster.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get to LaGrange. Bob. Morning, Bob.
Hey, guys, what game were you watching last night? The Super Bowl champs. The guy up front, Barrett, the nose tackle weighed 350, Kinsu, 320, and Pierre Paul. And they got this kid, Devon White, fastest linebacker in the world, and he blitzed up the middle. Kick up what? They blitz everybody. They pressured Mahomes 46 times. You know, the guy makes all the big money, almost a billion, whatever. So how do you expect Justin Fields, 73, can't block me? The guy went right around. Now watch this. How many of you guys can hold the ball when a 200-pound guy hits you on your arm and strip you and you come from the back? Robinson watched the ball in the air and just watch the ball like a spectator. Nobody said that now. He didn't go back and compete and knock the ball from the defensive guy. He just stood there. Nobody opened their mouth about Robinson. What's that? You trying to cover him? Mooney dropped the ball. You said that. Robinson fell down on another interception. What is Phil supposed to do? Now, you got the guy at tackle, a guard, 6'8". I think his name, Daniels. He go on with the crowd. He put up a finger, right? And then his hand go down just like Cleveland.
So Bob, just calm down for a second. What is it that, what's your point, that it wasn't Justin Fields' fault at all? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the Bears don't have the talent, man. They don't have nobody can block anybody. And I'm saying, if you didn't see the Super Bowl last year, those guys
are No, but I want to know why you're upset with us. Do you think that we're picking on Justin Fields? What is it?
No.
What's gotten you so emotional?
Why is he back in the shotgun? Cleveland came and sacked him 9 times. You think Barrett and them not going to sack him 9 times?
Thanks, Bob. We're not picking on Justin Fields. I appreciate the phone call. But look, all we were asking for, I think all anyone was asking for and disappointed in yesterday, Mully, correct me if I'm wrong, wanted to be the Bears to be competitive. They weren't even competitive. They were playing the defending Super Bowl champions. We know how wide the gap is in terms of talent. We know what Tom Brady stands for and the standard he places, how high it is. The Bears weren't even competitive, and that was the biggest disappointment.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I don't think I have to do anything. You know, I don't think I have to tell them. I think, you know, I just have to put it out there and I have to, you know, lead by example and just be me and, you know, just have that positive attitude, have that, you know, fighting mentality where, you know, nothing can faze us. And, you know, like I said before, we bend but don't break and we're always going to keep going no matter how many times we get knocked down. So. Just keep pushing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is, of course, Justin Fields. And he's got a good attitude, I guess. Not a lot of positive moments for him. And it's been difficult to watch, David. But, you know, they were going to lose that game. Wasn't a shocker. But,
no.
Man, that was rough stuff. That was bad.
It was uglier than we expected. As I said, it was inevitable, but it didn't need to be that emphatic. And I think that when you saw how far the gap has become between the Bears and the Super Bowl champions, it's troubling. It's concerning. I would just caution people to avoid doing one thing here. And you can look at how this however you want to, but this would be my free advice. I wouldn't lump your feelings and your projections and your opinions and insight on Justin Fields' future with the way you feel and the frustration that you feel toward Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. It is possible in the NFL to have a rookie quarterback remain promising, succeed even after a rookie season when his head coach gets fired. I think Justin Herbert is the latest example of that in L.A. I don't think you need to necessarily marry those two ideas. It's very separate to me. Matt Nagy is in the fourth year of his head coaching tenure with the Bears, averaging 14 points a game. It's not about promise. It's got to be about production. That's not good enough. Ryan Pace is in his seventh season, and has yet to win a playoff game. You can be fed up with that. It doesn't mean you have to be have to give up on Justin Fields.
312 Yeah, David, I mean, I'm with you 100%. I think that's very fair. I think it's sound advice. I just think that I think that it's really difficult to separate a lot of things. And I think that, you know, moving forward, doing what you have to do, those are all good things. That's, you know, that's life. Change is inevitable, and you become used to the concept of it. I don't think you can be afraid of it. But I also think that that you can't overreact, and you got to look at things in a whole, and let's just wait and see a little bit. Show some patience, for God's sake. 312-644-6767. Steve's on the west side. Hi, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen. Listen, you got it wrong. We got to keep Nagy, and here's why. I have never been more productive on a Sunday afternoon than I am when the Bears are playing. I can't watch that crap anymore. My wife is happy with me. I've painted the bathroom yesterday, cleaned the basement. I'm hoping for an Indian summer Sunday so I can finish the seal coat of the driveway. I made steak dinner with twice-baked potatoes last night. It's beautiful. I can't watch this crap. Keep him around. I'm more productive than I've ever been. Thanks, gents.
Oh, wow. Steve, that's awesome.
Boy, Chicago front yards have never seen more manicured raking leaves. Such a productive fall here in town.
Julie. Crazy. Julie's in Chicago. Hey, Julie.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, Julie. How are you?
I just want to make a couple of points. Actually, I'm calling from Oklahoma, not Chicago. But
okay.
Anyway, I'm not sticking up for Nagy, but he didn't want to play Fields. And all the fans were yelling, we want Fields, we want Fields. Did you ever stop to think maybe he saw this coming? He knew Fields was going to get killed out there, and he was trying to save him that? And then I also was wondering why Foles is just sitting on the bench with what they're paying him. When Dalton got hurt, Fields should have been number three, and they should have went to Foles. You know, I don't get why they're just paying him the money. They're paying him to warm the bench. Not that they would win more games with him, but at least that would keep Fields from getting killed his rookie season. But, you know, I'm not sticking up for Nagy, but everybody wants him gone, and so do I. But he didn't want to play Fields. And everybody made him, and now he's taking hell for the way it turned out. Well, maybe he saw it coming with that old line. He knew he'd get killed out there. So I'll hang up and hear what you have to say.
It's a fair comment, Julie.
It really is, Mully. Yeah. Two things. Number one, I want you to comment on that because I do think that there is an element of how Andy Dalton would have been able to get rid of the ball quicker and maybe execute Matt Nagy's offense and scheme better in his mind, and maybe there's an element of truth in that. The other thing I have to share is that your idea midway through the game about the best way to rattle Tom Brady would be to play Nick Foles was something I just thought was ingenious. Like, why didn't the Bears think of that?
There's no way of getting to that guy. He's too composed. No. Wait a minute. Is that Nick Foles?
Yes. All of a sudden, you see Brady running for the tunnel.
Tom would, he would reach out to shake his hand and then touch his hair and run off.
Oh, man.
Did you see Tom, as he was leaving, give the hat he was wearing to a kid with that had a sign about apparently a child who had cancer thanking him for helping heal him? And then the kid broke down crying as Tom put a baseball cap on his head. It was a beautiful moment and the feel-good moment of Sunday, regardless of who you support.
Powerful. He understands the impact he has on fans, and he was taking selfies by the end of the game as well. He's doing everything right. He is in, I hate to say he's in the prime of his life, the prime of his career, because he's 44 and near the end, but he's never played better.
Kevin is in LaGrange Park. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Love you. Love your show. In no way did I think the Bears were going to come close, just like everybody else. But I want to talk about being prepared. You know, you have a whole week to get ready for the game. And to go back to when you guys thought that the Bears were out of it, and I think you guys said it was the second play of the game. I thought it was the first play of the game. You get all week to get prepared for the Bucs. And your first play of the game is a little pitch left, you know, that you're happy to get back to the line of scrimmage. Should have gone for a loss. And then my last comment is it was 21-0, and you did put a little bit of a drive together going downfield. You get first and goal on the 9, and what do? You call a timeout. They come out of the timeout, and what do they run? Another little pitch to the right that they go for no gain. They're not prepared, and that's the best you can do out of a timeout in the first play of the game. I'm just going to hang up and hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah, there was a lot to pick apart in terms of their offensive approach, but I'm just not sure what effect it would have done. They were so overmatched on the offensive line, I'm not sure much of a game plan, any game plan, would have mattered. I do wonder this, Mully, and we haven't talked much about it. Khalil Mack, he didn't play the entire game, 52 snaps. Travis Gibson even had more snaps than Khalil Mack, and he had one solo tackle. Do you think he was healthy or not?
Oh, no. I don't think he's been very healthy. I still think he can make plays, and I still think he's a werewolf. I mean, the guy's a beast. I love watching him play, but I think he's gotten better because he's had a compatriot and because that's helped him with Quinn. But I don't think that he had an impact in that game because he didn't really have an opportunity. And if you watch him, he has been playing less plays than you might expect him to. And I think it's due to his health. He can't practice, for God's sake.
Yeah, it is unfortunate because that, you know, you had maybe Mack and not at full strength. You were without Hicks. You were without Quinn. And you just didn't have many answers. And yet you come out of that feeling like it was more of an offensive failure than defensive failure, when in fact it was probably just a collective failure. Every phase of the game, the Bears were overmatched.
All right, we're going to bring in Olin Kreutz. We'll talk to him about what he witnessed and get his forthright take. Next, it's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.